Worship. This whole series, we went our worship. Now we're going back to the garden. What we did last couple of weeks about worship, if you think of a piece of pie, you guys like pizza, your favorite pizza. If you don't like it, think about apple pie, right? And you cut the pizza all the way into slices. And you take one slice out. That one slice that you take all the way out, that's what we did for the last 3 weeks. We talked about worship in song. But what about the rest of like the other, if it's a 12 slicer, what about the other like 11 slices? What do we do with that? We have made this one slice of pizza of apple pie, we've made that the epitome of worship. You turn to any church website, lights, camera, action. You go to any worship, it's just worship. That's it. And we want to be really careful not to cause disdain on that, because that in fact is worship. That in fact is part of the picture. But that's only a slice of the picture. And the last 3 weeks, we talked about this slice. This week or this next series, we want to talk about these 11 slices that make up the whole true aspect of what worship really is. Without knowing the whole of what these slices of the pizza looks like, this one slice that you do all the time may be contaminated. So we have to go back to the garden to understand what worship really is. What I'm going to ask in this sermon is, or this whole sermon series, is everything you knew about worship or you've been taught about worship, I will ask that you put it in a bag and set it to the side. Don't throw the bag away. You may hate everything we teach and pick up that bag and then go over again. I'm cool with that. One of the first criteria to learn is you have to unlearn first to create the atmosphere to relearn. Amen? So when we go back to the garden, we're going to try to get a picture of what did worship really is. And so here's some interesting things when we go back to the garden. In Genesis, when we go back to the garden, here's some things we don't see in the book of Genesis or in the garden. We don't see church services. There's no church services there. There's not one church service there. We don't see pastors. I love you, pastors. It's Pastors Appreciation Month and all that. We don't see pastors. We don't see worship leaders. We don't see offering. Those who don't like to give, say amen. That was a joke. It was a joke. I couldn't resist, right? We don't see offerings buckets in the book of Genesis. We don't see Bible studies. We don't see seminary. We don't see any of that in the book of Genesis. It doesn't exist. There's no religion in the book of Genesis. What do we see in Genesis then? We see two things. We see relationship. God created Adam, Eve, and they were in relationship with each other. We see that. It's clear as day. Be fruitful and multiply that sucker. Like, go do your thing, right? We see relationship. I'm just facts. We see relationship between Adam and Eve and with God. Relationship, right? The second thing we see in the garden is we see work. Work. God told Adam and Eve, I need you to till and work this ground. As a matter of fact, if you reread Genesis 1 and 2, you will see that God did not he did not cause anything to grow until he had somebody to work. He did not cause anything to grow until he had people to work it, management. And so when you see Genesis, the two things that you see in Genesis is relationship plus work. Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, and they also had a relationship with the earth. Work was the connection for the relationship. You guys follow me? And so based on that, when we go back to the garden for God's original intent, we realized relationship plus work equals worship. Relationship plus work equals worship. That's the bigger pie. So what therefore is worship? Remember, you got your previous stuff. It's in your bag. Right now, your bag might be shaking. It's not what worship is. So therefore, worship is the perpetual glorifying of God through relationships and work. Worship is the perpetual glorifying of God. Oh, somebody's getting this. I heard a clap. Is the perpetual glorifying of God through relationships and work. The reason we use perpetual is every day of your life, you're in a relationship. So when you step out of your house, the relationship process begins with how we take care of creation. You're worshiping. When you go to your boss, your employees, your coworkers, the relationship of worship begins right there. You're worshiping. Perpetual glorification of God through relationship and work. So how you treat your colleagues matter. How your colleagues treat you is worship. How you do your work is worship. The whole thing is worship. That's the bigger pie. So when we focus on just this one pie, you can treat your boyfriend like crap, your husband like crap, and then you come up in church and you shout amen. Come on, you already get it. That's the problem when we make this slice of pie all of worship. You could come up in here and lift hands on Sunday and worship God when the relationship with orphans in the city is going bad. So we need to get a framework of this power of relationships and the power of work to glorify and to worship God. My work is my worship. And some insights I want to take away from here. When you look at the Ten Commandments, number one, no other gods before me, no graven images, don't take the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath, all about relationship with who? God. All about relationship, perpetual glorification of him. I need you to save a day for me to come worship and be in relationship with me. So Sabbath, according to the Hebrew culture, is God creating a space in time for him to exist. If you look at Genesis, the only day who didn't have an evening was the seventh day. Evening and day, night and day. On the seventh day, it was perpetual. That's why he says those in Hebrews, if you enter into the rest of God, he's already rested. He's already on his seventh day. Your work should be a joy. Your work should be a pleasure because you're doing it unto God, not unto man. It's worship. That's why he says, follow all authority and follow everybody at your job, because it's worship. Even if that authority is bad, even if that authority is terrible, your promotion doesn't come from that person. Your promotion comes from the Lord. He will see that, and he will lift you up. The devil will tell you your job stinks. You're not where you're supposed to be. So go there like this. Go there slouching. Don't do that work and don't do that job with your full gusto. The devil wants you to think God ain't watching you. Oh no. Not only is he watching you, he's like, I'm going to go to work with you. You work at Home Depot? Let's do it together. Remember when we first started this ministry, I had to drive Uber in the middle of the night. And every day God was with me in work. 2 years ago, I drove Uber for 6 months. Every day, I carried God with me in that car, and we saw some stuff go down. Worship is a perpetual glorification of God through relationships and work. And it matters because that pie, if we don't get that pie right, and you come here with only one pie right, the thing needs to go together. Let's go some insights. Observation number one, the blessing of God to Adam and Eve was eternal relationships on earth. That was the blessing. Eternal relationships on earth. And here we are, religion teaches us we just can't wait to get to heaven. Because then it'll be better. Because then we'll have our glorified bodies where we can't treat each other bad and we can't sin. Here's a problem with that. Adam and Eve had a perfect body and they still sinned. In their goodness, we choose to disobey. We choose to do things. And so relationships are supposed to be a blessing on earth. Second observation, the mandate of work is a blessing used to establish a glorious partnership. So this call for us to work, it's a mandate. Mandate means something that's been entrusted into our hands for a glorious partnership with God. What does that mean? Well, let me explain glorious. Glorious is the invisible qualities, characteristics, or attributes displayed in a visible or knowable way. So, Brother Michael Jordan, right? If you go to Michael Jordan's house, you can see his invisible qualities and characteristics because he has a big 23 on front of his gate. You see that gate, you're like, dang, right? He won a couple of championships. Brother Jeff Bezos, when you go to his house sits on like 10 miles. That's his invisible qualities of the money in his bank made known to everybody. So glory is not this nebulous thing that you can't see. The glory in how you talk to your wife when everybody's around you demonstrates the glory that you see in her. How you treat other people is a manifestation of the glory of that relationship. And how other people treat you is a manifestation of the glory of that relationship. And once we get this, that relationships at work are the real bigger part of the pie, we will put an emphasis on, because we know how to do this. But we need a lot of equipping to do the rest. Let's go over some insights right here. Relationships, and I want to take a moment and pause. I feel heaviness. The heaviness that I sense heaviness. And so I want to just highlight, in topics like this, there can be a heaviness. And that heaviness is okay. The heaviness is okay. What I want you to know if you're feeling heaviness, if you're thinking about things, what I want you to know is keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Take notes and then go back and cross-examine with the Word of God. So insights. Relationships provide us with an opportunity to glorify God. Every relationship provides us an opportunity to glorify God. Jesus taught in Matthew, the greatest commandment is to love God and love other people as yourself. They give you an opportunity to show the invisible nature of God. Think about that. Number two, work provides us an opportunity to glorify God. Your production at work gives you an opportunity to show the manifest glory of God. If your job right now is not where you ought to be, it's a preparation for where you will be. If where you're at is not where you want to be, it's a preparation of where you're going to be. And what you do in that place matters greatly to God. One of the biggest things the enemy does is to make us think that the work that we do don't matter. And the way you know he's doing that to you, the way you know that that deception is there is you go in like this. The way you know that deception is there is that, look, I'm not preaching to you something I don't know. I live this. I had jobs where I would just drive there and sit in there and be like, I don't want to go there today. Not knowing that my promotion doesn't come from that person. My promotion comes from the Lord, who is always watching, because my work is my worship to him. Let me go up in here and do this. Let's get it. Work matters. Your tithe is the first fruit of that worship. Your tithe and your generosity is an extension of that. That's why God said, don't give me no animals with broken legs. Give me your best. That's a sign of this partnership that we've got. Come on. It's not guilting. It's not guilt trip. This just laying it out there. Work. Management. When you go to work, Genesis 2:5, nothing grew without management. Nothing grew without management. Nothing. Management is an opportunity to glorify God. So if you're at work and you have a terrible boss, your boss can't tie his shoestrings to save his or her life, don't criticize. Get it done. Somebody's looking. Management. This is kingdom stuff here. Management also allows increase. Matthew 25, you don't have to turn there. But in that passage, the passage of the talents, you guys remember that passage? For the person who didn't do, he took it away. And he gave to other people. Work creates management. In terms of work, how you manage your money is worship. Just giving you some highlights. Also, stealing in your work. Stealing time. We're supposed to be doing something for our company, on our company's dime, and we're doing something else. I'm not trying to pull a guilt trip. I'm just saying. I had a funny imagery as I was saying that. If we were leading worship, this piece of that pie, if we were leading worship and I had my laptop open and I was doing my work. That we're at this piece of the slice of the pie. Right? Worship and work is how we perpetually glorify God. So when I'm at work, that job, if I'm boxing shelves, if my job is to be an illustrator, if my job is to do whatever it is, your job is going to be so stinking good, they're going to feel the glory of the goodness of my job. And that's my worship unto God. The reason I say that is because our culture teaches us we just ladder up. We just wait till we go to the next place. I'm just here till I get there. And God says, man, if I can't trust you with somebody else's stuff, with the little things, how am I going to trust you with something bigger than this? So what culture teaches us is not true. We must do everything with maximum effort for a God who is maximum. Other things here, other highlights. Righteous relationships and work are the seeds for perpetual worship. Righteous relationships and work are the seeds for perpetual worship. Think if you had a bucket. I don't have a bucket, should have brought one. I see those pastors on the internet all the time. You know the dudes with their visual illustrations? I'm like, that is so awesome. I need a visual illustration team. But we don't have one. If you want to do that, come on up. But you know, bucket of seeds. In that bucket of seeds, for perpetual worship, relationships and work, what you do, that's a seed that you can plant to perpetually worship God. That's why relationshiping is so critical. Work provides us an opportunity to work with God. Fourth insight, work provides us an opportunity to work with God. We partner with him. This is why this series really shook me. Because God was not interested in people sitting there lifting his hands up to him all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was not his interest. We see none of it in the garden. We see it in Revelation, but as a matter of fact, in Revelation is that he brings earth back down and we go back to the garden. His main intent was not groveling at his feet, his main intent was partnership. His main intent was partnership. Working with God firmly establishes your union with him and with others. Working with God firmly establishes your union with him and others. And so if I'm a plumber and I take God with me at work to go do my plumbing job, each time I go to somebody's house, I'm bringing the Lord with me. That union. That's my job. That's my work. How I do that plumbing reveals the invisible characteristics of the God that I serve. That's why one of the things God hates is bad business dealings. He actually calls it an abomination, uneven scales, cheating people at work. So the whole point of this whole intro sermon is to reframe for us what is worship according to God. Worship is the perpetual glorification of God through relationships and work. I was so convicted when I looked at how I treat creation. I was like, what's my relationship with creation now that unlearning is there? So these next couple of weeks, what we're going to be talking about, we're going to focus on relationships. We're going to focus on what happens when the enemy plants a flag in one of your relationships and God can't receive glory there. It's a tumultuous relationship. That's how you know the enemy has taken territory. Literally, you cannot give God glory in that relationship no matter how you try. There's a flag planted there. And we're going to talk about more things in the upcoming weeks. And so let's pray, and then we'll close here. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, I just pray and ask that you would guide us. You would open our hearts. You would open our ears to really, really, really see what you have to say about relationship and work as a worship unto you, as part of the bigger pie. Thank you that we get to worship you in song. Thank you for that. And now open our hearts to the bigger picture. In Jesus' name, amen.